Welcome to the Project Love podcast. I'm Selena Barker.
And I'm Vicky Pavitt. In these podcasts, we explore what it takes to create a life, relationship, and career you love.
And not just one that looks good on the outside, but one that feels good on the inside. Hello and welcome to another Project Love podcast episode. It's Selena here. I am the career and life design coach of the Project Love duo. And today in this episode, I am joined by the wonderful Kate Taylor, who is actually a return guest. She was on the podcast about a year ago. Vicky and I were talking to her about her amazing Practical Magic activation deck. We both have a deck and we absolutely love it. Definitely recommend checking that out and listening to that episode. Kate is a leading life design and empowerment coach, a creative business coach and mentor, master NLP practitioner, clinical hypnotherapist, and a Koya teacher. We've done a one-day workshop with her before, which honestly was one of the most powerful and magical one-day workshops both of us have ever done. So it was brilliant to have her back on the podcast. And in fact, this time I asked her to choose the topic that we were going to discuss. And she chose the topic of people pleasing, a topic which when she first suggested, I was like, I think I'm pretty good these days at not being a people pleaser. But then when you start digging into it, I just realize how much I'm doing it a lot of the time still. And it's really interesting when you dig into why women in particular are such people pleasers and the way many of us were raised as children, why we became such fervent people pleasers. So I'm really looking forward to getting into this topic with us. But first, before we get onto that, I have a very exciting announcement. I have teamed up with a very well-known brand, can't mention who they are yet, to do a career change podcast project. It means that I will get to coach six people, career coach them for free, in exchange for those coaching sessions to be recorded and for you to be part of the podcast project. So the episodes will be going live at the start of next year. So you can have a pseudonym and obviously you're not seen. So there's a certain amount of anonymity. Anonymity? Is that the word? You know what I mean. The big opportunity is that I will get to coach people, some of which may not be able to normally afford coaching or haven't really come across coaching before. So we really want to open this out to a real mix of people. So if you can think of anyone, or if you have been thinking how much you would love to change career or have a job doing something that you love, if that's something that you dream of and you would love my help, you would love some coaching, then head on over to selenabarker.com/podcast project and apply. We'll be starting recording pretty soon. So the sooner you get in touch, the better. And more details will be on there. So yeah, very exciting. I cannot wait to see who's going to be coming on this journey with me. And for now, let's get on with the episode and diving deep into the topic of people pleasing. Kate, thank you so much for joining me today. I cannot wait to get into this conversation. You chose the topic for today.
I did.
Which is people pleasing.
Yes.
Why did you want to talk about people pleasing?
Because I'm not even a recovering people pleaser. I am just a people pleaser. And it's come up so much recently. I mean, you asked me the question, what should we talk about?
Yeah.
And it was just the one that was front and center because it's been particularly relevant recently.
So when you said that, I was like, oh my God, yeah, because I am a people pleaser. I mean, like you, I'm not a recovering people pleaser. I'm definitely a people pleaser and I do catch it more often. I'm not to the same degree as I was before. But when I started to looking into it and like what books are written about people pleasing, and there's a lot of talk about this disease to please.
Mm.
And when you start digging into it and why and how the way we were raised as children.
Yeah.
Has turned us into people pleasers, and in particular women,
yeah.
And how they've been taught to be people pleasers.
Yeah.
You realize how much
we're conditioned.
It shapes our yeah. choices and our actions everywhere and all the time. And if we're wondering why we're so exhausted, this could be yeah. the root cause.
Totally. And particularly women of our age group, because, well, you know, it comes from most women, as you say. I remember when I was in primary school and we had this thing called the Endeavour Cup. And I remember receiving the Endeavour Cup in my little 70s velour. Oh my God, the best dress. The best dress. It was a long little 70s velour, like patchwork thing. It was so cute. But I had the Endeavour Cup for being kind.
Yeah.
And from that point onwards, because I was rewarded for being kind, that goes hand in hand with being nice for me. How can I make things better for you? And that's great, because as a skill, in terms of being a coach and helping people to get to where they need to get to, isn't having that compassion and care and empathy to help people and want the best for them. It's an amazing skill to have. It's also where it comes into for women of be nice, be kind, sit down, smile, be pretty, don't rock the boat because nobody likes to show off, don't be too much, all that kind of stuff. Whereas the guys can be jumping off the monkey bars and beating each other up and whacking each other with sticks.
And it's fine.
And that's fine.
Boys will be boys.
Boys will be boys. And that really holds us back our careers
so
and our lives.
So badly. And I, you know, I'd like to pretend that, I, you know, like you say, I'm a recovering people pleaser and I learn, but I really do.
Mm.
When we start talking about it, I'm just like, wow, so much of today, like, holding myself back, not speaking up, feeling so uncomfortable to have the difficult conversations, like terrified of conflict, you know, not wanting to show myself to be an angry woman, you know, in particular when I am fucking angry.
Yeah.
And I have every right to be angry.
Don't show emotion. Why would you want to do that?
Oh,
because
man.
that means there's something wrong with you. Are you premenstrual? Are you menopausal? You know, women can't show anger. What?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, behind closed doors is a very different story to as it would be on the outside world, but it's a big challenge in my life.
Yeah.
It massively holds me back.
Where do you think it holds you back the most?
In a work capacity, I think, or being assertive in a work capacity. So if I use the example of recently, and it's like when I'm doing my own thing, so The Awakening came about last year, which is my festival of wellbeing and self-care, which launched on the Isle of Wight this year. I was totally in my power, absolutely beautiful. And we had the most incredible day. And people are even saying to me now, like, take me back, you know, and it's still having an impact.
Mm.
That was what I wanted. But it felt like it came from when I got my hand on my solar plexus and my heart, because it really came from the root of me and everything that I am, because I wanted people to come into their own self-care, to have something they could take away with them. I then got asked to do it at a family festival recently, which was with some people I'd worked with 16 years ago. And I just went into this space of, well, who am I to do this?
Mm.
That was just a fluke. Who am I to do this? And then I've got to prove something to them to show them how bloody good I am at this, which I didn't have to do. So I just could feel myself getting disempowered and doing everything to prove to them that I was worthy to be there. So doing the people pleasing and doing way, 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 way more than I needed to do, because there was just this, it felt like a disassociation of me and my power. That's really what it felt like. And it felt, just that I was giving it all away and letting other people have the limelight, letting other people, which is, I'm also there as a facilitator too. That's great. Yeah, it was very disempowering. Didn't serve me well.
Mm. I think also because there's something about when you're stepping into your power, then you don't, there's a resistance to doing that if you're a people pleaser, because you don't want to make other people feel small by you stepping into your power. So actually, I'll step down. I'll make myself small
down,
so you don't feel bad. And so, and again, it's like the way that we feel the need to please people and make them happy.
Mm.
Just comes in so many different layers and facets. And
well, I found myself at this weekend when everybody was arriving and making sure that they were okay. Because again, that service is important to me, making sure that everyone's okay, that they got what they need, and overcompensating. That's, I'm okay with that. Like, I want people to be able to feel like they're being well looked after. However, I had to find myself literally saying out loud, stop people pleasing, because I was just not letting people have their own accountability for sorting themselves out, which just got ridiculous in the end.
Yeah. I think it's tied up with being a rescuer as well.
Yes.
If you're a people pleaser, rescuing, feeling responsible.
Yes.
More responsible than you need to be. I think what really fascinated me reading up on it
was how when you look at how we were brought up as children and don't do that, do what I want, as you know, being the parent, you need to do what I want. And as soon as they do what the parent wants, well done. Well done.
Yeah.
You are now praised. It doesn't matter if you wanted to do it or not. What you're going to get praised for is for doing what I wanted
following
you
orders.
To do.
Yeah.
And there is the foundation.
Yeah.
And
so true.
There will be so few people. I don't know anyone who would say, oh no, that's not how I was brought up. Even today, like I think I was thinking about it, it's like, shit, okay, I've got a four-year-old. And obviously trying to approach parenting in a different way of giving them more choice, but also, you know, being firm and blah, 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 and it's a minefield. But I was just like, he's definitely, I've seen him go through phases where he's suddenly been like, oh, I know how to make mommy happy all the time, and now it's my responsibility to make her happy. And, oh no, she's not happy. And I'm like, listen, I don't always have to be happy. I will always love you, even when I'm unhappy, even when it has nothing to do with you, even when I'm unhappy with what you're doing. That's not going to take the love away. And slowly but surely he like unclenched and was like, okay, cool.
Oh. I can,
you know, and stopped thinking about it so much.
Yeah.
But you can see it, you know, I can see it even in him, this desire to please and how that is attached to getting love from someone.
I think, and that's a really good reflection because again, and as we're talking, because the unconscious mind brings you everything that you need, I think back to times when I was younger where maybe, you know, you have little scraps with kids and stuff like that. And I remember pushing somebody once and then falling over and feeling like I damaged them and just feeling so guilty that I was like, I'm never going to do that again. I will never do something to hurt someone or some action that I might take might upset someone because... Then we're, again, it's like coming into that, you've got responsibility for somebody else's feelings. We say it all the time, don't we? Oh, you made me feel like that. You made me do this. And it's like, no. We're all responsible for ourselves. Absolutely every single one of us is responsible for anything that we feel at any given time. Yes, there may be something that somebody does, which is a reflection that reminds you of something, causes a trigger reaction, but we are all responsible. So us walking around as people pleasers thinking, well, I can make them happy. I can do this and that's going to change their mood. There are wonderful things you can do to smile at somebody, lights everybody's day up. But, and I'm not saying we have to go around being really mean to everybody. All I'm saying is that we have to, as individuals, take responsibility for ourselves and allow other people to take responsibility for themselves.
Yeah, and do you know what? It's okay if you say something or do something and someone else is unhappy with that or someone else gets upset or angry. And I don't mean go around not giving a shit and being like, whatever, out of my way, stepping on people. Like, it's like we're not going to be doing that.
No.
But it's, you know, if I think about in my relationship, in my romantic relationship, my partner, I sometimes sharing my feelings and expressing my needs, he gets angry and upset at first because of what's been said. And I've now learned that's okay.
Because he's not actually going to be angry and upset at you.
No, and that's fine. And likewise, if he says, listen, I need to talk to you about something and I might first get defensive and upset, that must not put him off. It's like, okay, this is right, fine, we're getting into it. This is an uncomfortable, difficult conversation. But you know when you get through those ones and you feel closer and you understand each other better
because
you have grown together.
Yeah.
If you're people pleasing all the time in your relationships, you're never going to have any depth and connection.
Well,
and what we build up is resentment.
Exactly. It turns into resentment. It turns into frustration. You don't understand me. I do. Or like the unwritten, the unspoken word, well. You're just simmering.
That's
where passive aggressiveness comes into it.
Oh, God.
Because I am
get
also
so bad at that.
Passive aggressive. Hands up.
Of course, because you can't fully just come out and say, I'm not happy. You're
exactly.
Like, well,
so you should know by this unwritten, these words that I'm not saying to you, why I'm so pissed off with you. And then it builds up and it builds up and it builds up. And then
don't make me have to actually express
myself.
What do you
mean I have to tell you why I'm cross?
Yeah, and then risk you being unhappy with what I'm saying. And then I can't be people pleasing where my validation is so caught up that I will fall at like something in me just like completely freaks out. And I keep going back to then as the child, of course it does. Because the parenting of our, you know, the generation we were brought up in was so authoritarian. That's how you make sure children grow up, you know, polite and following orders and all the rest of it and become good people.
Or it happens behind closed doors and you don't see any of that being worked out.
Yeah.
You know, so, and it is, it's really healthy actually to have disagreements, yes, to talk things through. Like, it's funny, myself and my partner, because he'd be listening to this going, passive aggressive, you're just aggressive at home. Because it is kind of behind the closed doors, it's much easier to do that with the person who knows you and sees, yeah, you and in the nude. Passive. Yeah. Just aggressive. Because, you know, all then everything falls down, doesn't it? All the mask, yeah, comes off, and you can just, all that stuff that you haven't done out in the real world, all that stuff you haven't done on the street or meeting with people, just you come home with it and go, right, where's the first person I can take it out on? It's, yeah, the person who's in
because
front of me.
Because you've been containing yourself, yeah, being nice to everyone. Another thing, everyone, no one, you can tell when someone's being nice all the time. You can sense it. It's like you can feel the resentment. You can feel like, well, I think. And so actually, it's so refreshing when, you know, I'm just thinking about the number of times we say yes to helping out a friend or doing something when really you mean no. I think, you know, and sort of we'll get into like how you start curing your disease to please. But I think starting small and being like, do you know what? I'm going to be totally honest. I do not feel like doing it.
Yeah.
But I love you.
It's so easy.
I will do it because I love you. But they'll be like, well, fuck, ask someone else. Maybe, or they'll be like, thank you.
Yeah.
You know, at least start with saying, I don't really feel like doing it, but I love you. And so I will do it. And eventually it'll be like, is there anyone else you can ask? Because actually right now, yeah, I'm just exhausted.
Or just saying, I'm not available for that, but what I can do is this.
Yeah, exactly.
So I think this is a very quintessentially British thing as, yes, well. You're like, I love how the Americans will just go, well, that doesn't work for me, you know, yeah, and that's it, end of conversation.
Yeah, they have the language for
They have the language for
we
it.
We do not.
We do not. It's like, oh, you know, yeah, yeah,
okay, fine, yes.
Yeah, I hate you. Yes, I can't believe this is putting me out. Oh God, such a bitch for asking me
but
to do this.
But this is the thing, because you think with the people pleasing, it's all being nice, but all the resentment,
yeah,
that builds up underneath it, and to me that disconnects us from one another.
It's totally toxic.
Yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah. So what can you see? How are you finding ways to challenge your people pleasing tendencies?
I'm recognizing it.
Yeah.
For a start, like I say, when it came to the point last weekend when I had to physically out loud say to myself, stop people pleasing.
But what, okay, actually take a step back. What was the impact of you people pleasing? How was
it
leaving you feeling?
I was feeling really without any confidence in what I was doing. And I couldn't be present for what I needed to be present for. I couldn't serve in the way that I really needed to, because I was putting myself at a really low pecking order.
Yeah.
So actually it just wasn't helping. It wasn't helping anyone. It wasn't helping me. It wasn't helping anyone around me. So the fact that I realized, and I tend to feel these things really physically, because I'm so aware of emotion in the body and what that can do. I tend to recognize the minutiae of where I'm feeling it. So, you know, just as we're talking now, it starts kind of creeping up into the throat. Like it comes up from the belly and into the throat, because we hold so much emotion in our stomachs, and obviously with the throat chakra and the communication, I could really feel it physically. And it was behind my eyes as well, because I was running around like a headless chicken, and I just felt like I couldn't center, I couldn't ground. I was so up out of my head that it just wasn't serving anyone. And it just got to the point where my intuition just verbally came out and went, stop it. You need to stop now.
What do you think the people pleasing was stopping you from expressing? Because it sat, as you were talking, I think it was almost like saying, I want to be seen too. I want to be like...
It was the rescuing thing. So actually what it was stopping me doing was actually just being able to let other people get on with what they needed, yeah, to. Like I say, they could be empowered to make their own. And I can see it now, because they were actually literally just walking away, sorting out what they needed to sort out. And I was like... running after, going, well, maybe you
right.
could do...
So actually, you were trying to rescue so many people.
To rescue. And you know what
like
it came to?
You were crawling along the floor.
Yeah. What it came to, and actually, as we reflect on this now, was I wanted validation. I wanted people to say, look at Kate, she just did the most amazing job.
Yeah.
Look, she's sorting had all it all of out. This time for everybody. She sorted everybody out, you know, and that's an ego thing.
Yeah.
My
Don't
ego
worry,
wanted
have
to
do
be fueled.
Anything. I'll sort it all out for you.
But I might be on my knees.
Yeah.
But at least you're, again, at least you'll be all right. It was the martyr, isn't it?
Yeah.
Feeding martyr.
See, that's interesting. The martyr, really, and the people pleaser.
Oh, my God.
God.
I remember having a reading. So Matt Taylor, who was my first coach, who I still, we do podcasts and stuff together now. I've got such a wonderful connection with him. I remember him doing my a reading, an astrology reading, I think it was a Vedic astrology reading. And he looked at my chart and he went, "You're a bit of a martyr, aren't you?" And I was like, "How dare you? Don't you understand?" And I realized, yes, I was. Yeah. And I am.
Yeah.
Or I can be.
Oh,
you
man,
know?
I know.
And it's
I hate
boring.
It when I realize that. I hate it. And I'm like, shit, I play the victim too. And I do martyr stuff because I can't stand it when I see, when I'm in the space of someone else who's doing that. And then I'm like, and then when I realize I've also been doing it, I'm like, oh God, this
it's
is
really
such bad news. It's yucky. But it's so tied in with the people pleasing.
Because you're wanting somebody to, I think, again, it comes to validation. It comes to a self-esteem thing. You want somebody to recognize what effort you're putting in, which is why people pleasers will keep going and keep going and keep going and not telling, you know, taking it all on, then going, oh, but I'm so this, I'm so this, I'm so this, because they want somebody to recognize that you're doing a fucking good job.
Yeah.
That's it. You know, we want somebody to tell us, but look at all this stuff you're doing. I mean, it was lovely at the weekend because at the end, my partner was just like, he'd never seen me in that way. Like, he knows what I do, but he'd never seen me orchestrating and curating in that way. And he went, "You did an incredible job." And I did feel myself getting that pat on the back. But I also didn't need that. I recognized that I was, when I took my power back, it was like, yes, I can do a good job and I don't need to save everybody else to do this.
It's so interesting because I hadn't thought about people pleasing tied up with giving away your power. But of course you are.
All of it.
And, you know, it's about saying, it's consistently saying yes when actually you mean no. You don't really have like the energy or the capacity to do it.
And it's also saying that you're more important than me.
And then, of course, you justify it to yourself with the martyrdom and be like, oh,
but who cares about me? Poor
me,
poor me.
Yeah, I know, I'm working so hard. And, well, you know, I really should have been in bed, but this had to be done and that had to be done. And that then makes you also feel like validated that you matter, you're important, because all these things could never have been done without you.
And that gets tied into, have you spoken to Tamu Thomas on the podcast before? Because that gets
she's
tied
not
into
been on the podcast yet. She's going to be
value equals output thing that most women in of our generation have. The more I am doing,
yes,
the more it looks like I am worthy as a person.
Exactly. And so I'm just going to keep saying yes.
Yep.
To doing stuff for other people and rescuing and sorting stuff out. Yeah, it's so deeply entrenched. So let's come back to, what little things are you starting to do? Or what can you and I do? And those listening who are like, oh God, yes, I am most definitely a people pleaser that needs to step into recovery.
Well, most people who are listening to this will just laugh because they, you know, they will just be like, yeah, tell us something we don't know.
Yeah,
we're
exactly
trying to help you out here, but you're not listening. So one of the things that a friend has said to me is, don't say yes straight away to everything. Like, I've got a really, you know, I'm excited about life. I'm excited about the work that I do. I absolutely love it. But I say yes way, way, way too quickly.
Yeah.
So it is saying, right, okay, when an opportunity comes along, is giving it time and giving it space. Or when something comes onto your plate that you would normally do, like this could be anything. This could be doing the shopping for somebody else or childcare for somebody else when you're way, way too busy. Give it space before you say yes.
Yeah.
You don't have to say yes straight away. Like, give it the space to give it a bit of pause.
I think when people first start a business, for example, and you find yourself saying yes to every opportunity that comes your way, even though it's going to absolutely wipe you out. Because again, that comes from people pleasing. I want, I'm in this new industry. I want people to like me. And that constantly, like, well, yes, yes, of course. I mean, wow, thank you, yes. And that's, again, it's that people pleasing. It's interesting you say that about Tamu, because I think now what I do is I'll lean into, do I have the energy for this? Much better at doing that now.
Yeah.
That definitely makes a difference. And based on whether I feel like I have the energy for this or not, then and also I've had to create much stronger boundaries since becoming a mum. Because it's not just about the rest of the world. I now have a responsibility
yeah.
to my son and myself. I'm a relationship, but that wasn't enough motivation before.
Yeah.
But now with my son, it has made me become much better with my boundaries.
Yeah.
And acknowledging the amount of energy that
I think having
got.
That checking in on your energy is really important, because if you're depleted, you can't do anything. And then how often do we check in with ourselves and go, well, actually, how am I feeling today? And just being aware of the nuances and where you are. So, for example, when I came out of doing the awakening and I was on the ferry home and got this call, I mean, I'm really glad I did it, but I was still on that high. I was still, my adrenaline was up here. So, of course, I said yes, because everything
Because
felt,
you think you've got a bottomless pit of energy.
Exactly. You feel invincible.
Oh, man.
So that's what I mean about space. Like, really checking in and going, whoa, whoa, whoa. I feel like this today, but am I going to feel the same tomorrow?
I think that's brilliant. I think before you say a yes to someone's request, take a moment.
Yeah.
Sleep on it.
Yeah.
Sit on your hands. I always love that. Vicky always says that. Sit on your hands before jumping to respond. And yeah, consider it.
And also checking in on if you're a woman and you are in your cycle, checking where you're at. If you're in your spring and summer, you're going to say yes to everything.
Mm.
But that might not come to fruition until you're in your autumn and winter.
Yeah.
And then you're like, why did I say yes to absolutely everything? Because I haven't got anything to give anymore.
Yeah.
So it's just being aware, like energy is, as you say, it's like the most important thing you've got to check in on.
Yeah. I think that's a great way of doing it. And then I think it's also finding language. Like you say, Americans know how to say it. That's just not going to work for me. I mean, I'm not suggesting that that's not going to be comfortable for everyone. But like finding ways to say, like you said, look, do you know what? I really want to help you out. I can't do that, but what I could do is this.
Yes.
And let them know and sort of manage it.
Because then it's not, you know, if you're uncomfortable saying no, that's a softer no.
Yeah.
And it's going to take a little bit of time. You've got to test it. You've got to see what language does work for you.
Yeah.
And after a while, it gets much easier to say.
Yeah.
And be okay with the fact that it might, if you do say no, it might feel uncomfortable because your people pleaser will be going, what the hell are you doing? Stand, you know, be with that and go, it's okay. I've got you.
Yeah.
We're doing this for our good.
And I think also saying no with love and kindness.
Yeah.
So if you're getting loads of requests for things, say, you know, again, if you're running your own business and you're getting lots of requests, or you're not even running your own business, you're at work and people are asking, you know, making lots of requests, and you feel like, well, I kind of want to do it to help them out, but like, actually, I really don't want to. And it was Marie Forleo that said this. She says something like, I'm so honored that you've asked me, but right now it's not something I want to do.
Yeah.
So she says no. She doesn't like, right, I just can't, or I'm, you know, unfortunately this month is, you don't make a, don't lie,
yeah.
Be honest, but you can also be kind and loving and give them a reply.
Yeah, the people please will try and please that other person. Then you're not going to succeed in that way.
Yeah.
So keep it clean.
Yeah, exactly.
Keep the language really clean. Don't overcomplicate it. Don't say all the reasons why you can't do something, because often people don't. One, they don't give a shit. They might be too busy.
Yeah.
Two, it's not their deal.
Yeah.
You know, they're not having to please you. So just keep the language clean.
Yeah. And I think, you know what, Liz Gilbert, I was listening to her talking to, I think it was either Fern Cotton or Emma Gannon, because I listened to both of them and they're both brilliant episodes. But she was talking about how, again, it was about people pleasing and learning to say no and how difficult it had been to her for such a long time. And she said, you know, you are under no obligation to answer an email just because someone has reached out and written to you. That's like, you are allowed to not answer it.
That's a really good point.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think it's where your values are. Like, I always feel like in my work life business, I like to be seen as a nice person, not necessarily empowering. So what are the values that you want to be put in place?
Yeah.
It can be, yes, I'm going to answer every single... I mean, I notice when emails don't go answered in my inbox, I stew on it. But actually, it doesn't matter. Like, okay, if you've got a... It's a bit like having a service level, isn't it?
Yeah.
If you're, one of your things is, I'm going to answer every single email that comes in, it can be like, thank you so much for dropping into my inbox. I'm, you know, you can even have an autoresponder.
Yeah.
Can't you? Just say, yeah, like, it has been noticed. I will get back to you within 1 to 2 weeks, but please bear with me.
And if I don't get back to you, then it's because this really isn't that important to me.
Yeah.
No, obviously not say that.
You're just not so but much.
You, I mean, but equally, you could say something like, unfortunately, I'm not able to get back to all emails. Like, yes, there's, you know, managing people's expectations.
Managing expectations.
I don't have voicemail anymore. I used to hate having to listen to people's messages.
I don't have voicemail either.
So I was just like, I will just get rid of this. So if people really want to get in touch with me, they will text me or email me or call me later.
Yeah.
And that just nicely took that out of my life and out of my space. But WhatsApp as well. I know a lot of people are like, God, that pressure to respond immediately. I'm just like, if people ever like, God, I messaged you yesterday. I'm like, oh no. I mean, WhatsApp is not something that I get back to immediately. If it's an emergency, let me know and I'll see emergency and I'll look straight away. But
I think that's an interesting point as well about the expectations that other people have on you.
Yeah.
And again, that comes down to communication. So say if you are in a business partnership or in a relationship or even in a friendship or in the family, you can have the conversation with somebody to say, can we just reestablish some boundaries here? Because this is going to serve us both better. Yeah. What expectations do we have of each other and what can we actually bring to that?
Yeah.
You know, and then that's a really refreshing conversation to have.
Yeah.
Rather than us going around, because all we're doing is we're walking around with our own glasses on, aren't we, most of the time, and thinking that everybody else should be operating in the same way as us, which is where this, you know, we're often butting up against each other. Saying, look, what's going to work for you? This is what's going to work for me.
Yeah.
How can we meet in the middle?
Exactly. And that's boundaries. That's saying, that's setting down healthy boundaries so everyone knows where they stand. One of our most popular episodes was one that Vicky and I did on boundaries a couple of years ago, actually. And in that episode, I talked about, I've forgotten her name. I'll remember it in a second. But she's written the book, The Art of Extreme Self-Care.
Mm-hmm.
Cheryl something. I forget. I'll put it in the show notes. And her most popular chapter was the one that says, I will disappoint you. And it talks about how when you learn to create healthy boundaries, when you make your self-care an absolute priority, you're going to have to start saying no.
Yeah.
And essentially, you're going to have to stop being a people pleaser.
Yeah.
Because that is, I mean, now we're talking about it, I am realizing more than ever how the connection between people pleasing, our desire and our need to please, with getting burnt out and running ourselves into the ground.
Of course, because it's just not enough time, energy. We can't give it all. And if the more you try and do it, the more you're just going to end up disappointing someone. Because you can't. You can never attain to keeping that person. Then you're in a toxic relationship. It just doesn't work.
If you're prioritizing making other people happy, then you can't be prioritizing your own self-care. And we know where that leads.
Yeah. Totally. Totally.
We know where that leads.
And also the fact is it's getting okay with disappointing people. Because again, if we come back to the fact that we don't have any responsibility for other people's emotions, they do, then who the hell are we to say, right, well, you're never going to be disappointed in me. Maybe they will. Maybe they're having a bad day and they just want to be pissed off.
Yeah, exactly.
That's okay.
And I think what we can be responsible for is communicating in a way with love and kindness and being clear. Because I don't mean now just like, oh, fuck it. I'm not going to get back to him. I'm not going to help her out. Like,
not at
I'm
all.
Just going to be, it's me, me, me. And I'm not going to, because sometimes you actually do want to help your friend and it would energize you to do it.
Yeah.
And you've got time for it. And you actually, you know what? You've
it's going to be fun.
Yeah, exactly. Or you've just got the time and energy for it and you're up for it. But you're not always going to want to. So I think it's learning how to communicate that. And I think also acknowledging that at the start, it's going to feel uncomfortable. And it is. It's going to feel uncomfortable.
It's going to feel uncomfortable.
Saying,
it's
do you know what?
It's going to feel icky.
And being honest, like, I really want to help you, but I promise myself that tonight, or whatever night they're asking for, that night is a night off. I need to recharge my batteries.
I love it when people say that to me. I love it.
It reminds, it's so exciting when other people are prioritizing
that. Because it gives you permission.
Exactly. So with you starting to do it, others are like, oh my God.
Yeah.
So I can say no too? Yeah. Yes,
and I
absolutely.
Can say it like that because my self-care is important.
Yeah, what a great way. You've modeled a brilliant way of saying it because actually I don't feel rejected. Totally get it. I've got other friends I can ask or you've offered to do it on another day. So brilliant. And now you've shown me how I can do it for myself as well.
I do think that comes into that is a bit of protection, because you will always have, you can always have that person who, and we've all got them in our lives, you know, we have, that will be pissed off because you said no.
I will disappoint you.
And it's about then, I mean, I come to my solar plexus and putting a bit of a barrier, a softened barrier up around my self-care and go, look, I need, in order for me to best serve that person in a way that's going to work for both of us, I need to protect my space.
Yeah.
And it's so important for us to do that as well. Hugely.
Because there are some people who will hear you say, I really need to have this night off and I need to recharge my batteries. And they will respond with like, oh, I see.
Oh, I wish I could do that.
Oh, well, good for you. Well, fine. You know what? Next time I won't bother. You know that.
Yeah, you can.
I've got some of those people. Sometimes they are family, so you can't get away from them. But it's just like, okay, well, that they will get over it.
Yeah.
They will get over it. And it's not that discomfort is not a good enough reason.
And again, it's not for you to rescue
them. No, exactly. Oh, man. Yeah, I need that on a T-shirt, Kate. Yeah. I need it on a T-shirt. Yeah. And I think that is a brilliant place to actually end, because, you know, that is so much of what it boils down to. But any last words on the topic of people pleasing?
There is actually. So again, this comes down to being unapologetic.
Yeah.
So I was saying to you, because I've got the Practical Magic Activation deck, as we know, we talked about this on the last show. And I was feeling not in my power quite recently about a situation where I'd been people pleasing and giving my whole self away for nothing. La 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 la. Anyway, it was actually a client of mine who reflected back and said, "Had you pull a card on this, Kate?" I was like, oh, "For God's sake!" Okay, got the deck out, and the card I pulled was unapologetic.
Wow!
And I realised how apologetic I was being. It was like really was cowing down. For no reason. Didn't need to do it. It was just this weird dynamic. And actually, as I said to you before, like I went from being almost like my body language was inverted. And as soon as I pulled the card, I like shifted myself out, because the card's actually fuck perfection.
Oh, great.
You know, and being unapologetic. And it was like, no, I why am I apologizing for myself?
Yeah.
Why am I being a lesser version of myself? None of this is this. I've made this all up. I made all of this situation up. So in terms of being unapologetic, it just gave me the permission to go, I have a different way of looking at this now. I have a different way of being unapologetic. And within that, the confidence just like whooshed through the body and it all changed. I asked for what I wanted. I got what I needed and I didn't have to martyr about it anymore.
And what a blessed relief that is.
Thank God for all of us.
When you
Everyone.
Take yourself off that cross, oh, there we go, clamber back down. Thank you. I'm all right, actually.
Yes.
Do you know what? It's so powerful having these conversations about this kind of thing, because I could sense there was something in me that wasn't, when we first started talking about this, wasn't quite wanting to let go of it. It was just like, and as we've talked about it, it's like, it's like I can, Right.
So I still feel again. It. Like, I don't think, you know, as I say, not recovering. Like, it's still in us.
But
having these conversations just gives us the permission to say, right, I recognize that I'm doing this. Just going to put my hand up for a minute. This is what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Like, that being the first thing, shouting out, stop people pleasing. I recognize that I'm doing it. And then going, I don't actually need to do that.
I do know what I love. I love the pausing, taking a moment before you say a yes. But also maybe it's like taking 5 minutes a day of deliberate non-people pleasing.
Yeah.
What would you do with those five minutes?
Do you know what I would do? I'd dance.
I was just thinking.
I would dance like a mother fluffer. I really would. Oh my God. Because again, like if you, we could talk about this for ages. But if you think about even how we move our bodies as women, we do it to please other people.
Yeah. Yeah,
you know, however we do it. But actually, if you dance like you're a complete loony and nobody's watching, your body is getting so much release. It doesn't have to look sexual. It doesn't have to look in a certain way. Yeah. It can be completely messy. You could be dancing around to Rammstein if that's your thing. whatever.
Yeah.
Being unapologetic and not having to do it for other people.
Being unapologetic about taking up space.
Taking up space.
Yeah. Absolutely. And not people pleasing by playing small because you're worried that that will make people uncomfortable or make them feel, you know, insecure or the rest of it. Oh, there are so many layers to this.
So many.
Such a good conversation. Mm. Thank you so much for suggesting
this. Thank you for having me. I hope I pleased you with it, listeners.
Oh, God, don't. And so it continues. Oh, it's all a work in progress.
It's all, we are.
We're all a
every
work
day.
In progress. Thank you.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the Project Love podcast. We really hope you enjoy this episode. And if you did, then come and subscribe on iTunes and we'll deliver each new episode straight to your device. And we would love it if you would leave us a review to help us spread the love far and wide. And if you can't think of anything to write, then just tap 5 stars and say, best podcast ever. Thank you.